Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Sports Radio Network.
Who do you think could be this season's Browns with the preseason hype not matching the results?
The obvious one I think of right off the bat is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who is the next one where we feel like the hype is starting to outreach the reality? Do you have one there?
You're not going to agree with me because you're one of the reasons why the hype has gotten a little out of control, and that's the Buffalo Bills.
How about the last game of the schedule, the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots, in that game that could decide the AFC East this year?
All right, welcome in. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number to hop on board here is 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. I am Patriots heavy tonight. I got a lot of Patriots stuff. A lot of stuff came out from the national media as it pertains to your Patriots. So I want to start with this. ESPN Plus used Pro Football Focus database, and if you're already having your head spinning already from that sentence, Pro Football Focus has grades on every player in the NFL. They predict what guys are going to do that are coming out of the collegiate level. So ESPN basically took their grades and they ranked every team's roster in the entire NFL. So just to put it into some context, an elite player is a 90 or above. A good high-quality player is 80 to 89.9. Average is 70 to 79.9. And if you're below 70... you're below average. So the NFL basically, or ESPN Plus, calculated all these grades that Pro Football Focus has out there, and they ranked each roster in the NFL. And you heard me chatting with Mark James a little bit in the crossover about this list. So if you look at it, the number one team on their list is the Baltimore Ravens, which I don't think anybody would put up too much of a fight saying Baltimore doesn't have the most talented roster. Even if you think the Chiefs are the better team because they have the better quarterback, they have the best player in the sport, that's fine. But in terms of the totality of the roster, there's really no weaknesses there. They were missing a little bit of a pass rush, and they brought over Calais Campbell from Jacksonville, stole him. Number two on the list is New Orleans. Number three on the list is San Francisco with Jimmy G. Four on the list is Kansas City. And number five is Tampa Bay. So a good choice for Tom Brady to go to Tampa Bay. By the way, how great of an NFC playoff game would that be? I'm rooting for that to happen. Jimmy G against Tom Brady at some point during the NFC playoffs. Now, if it was the NFC championship game, that would be awesome, but I would love to see them squaring off at some point during the playoffs. By the way, Brady's grade by Pro Football Focus is a 79, which, as I just gave you the metrics here, that would be average. Gronk, they have it a 75.2, which is average. They do have Mike Evans have it at an 85.7 and Chris Godwin at a 90.7. But I wanted to get into the Patriots here because the Patriots are very low on this list. They came in at 18th, and the Bills are 7th on this list. And I was just talking to Mark James about this. So I get a real issue with the Bills being 7th on anybody's list. And I get what ESPN Plus is doing. They're taking Pro Football Focus's grades, and they're basically putting that onto each roster, whatever the grade is, and they're adding it all up so they come up with the Bills 7th on the list. But here's my problem with the Bills. And they actually pointed out in the article, in terms of biggest weakness, this is what they say about the Bills. This is a very good roster that probably will be limited by a shaky quarterback. Even if you want to discount the PFF grades, Pro Football Focus, or advanced accuracy metrics, whatever the hell that is, Allen finished the 2019 season with a 58.8 completion percentage. Horrible. That was lower than each of the 32 quarterbacks with the most regular season attempts. So, literally, not figuratively, literally, Josh Allen was the most inaccurate quarterback in the entire NFL in the 2019 season. And by ESPN Plus's grade, they have the Bills as the seventh best roster in the NFL, despite the fact that the quarterback can't hit a wide open receiver. So they also go on to say there just aren't many numbers that point to Allen developing into an above average quarterback. Josh Allen, by the way, his grade in terms of Pro Football Focus, 64.1, which, as I illustrated by their rankings before, would be well below average. So my whole thing is, how can you have the seventh best roster in the NFL when this article is legitimately admitting that the quarterback is not good? That'd be like saying, yeah, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. She's really good looking. The only downside is she's cheated on me multiple times. Well, hold on. That's kind of an issue. If she cheated on you, she's probably going to cheat on you once you get married. So it's probably a bad idea. So with the quarterback, if the quarterback's not good, it doesn't matter what the rest of the roster is. You can't be an elite football team with a bad quarterback in the modern day NFL. So the Bills can have a bunch of good players, but if the quarterback isn't good, it's kind of a deal breaker. You can't win in this league at a high level that way. So this is why I have a really big issue with people banking on the Bills to win the division. And I get it on paper. This is a really good team. And Mark and I just went through some of the names. Tre'Davious White is an absolute stud. They brought over Stephon Diggs. John Brown's a deep threat. Cole Beasley had an outstanding season last year. Devin Singletary, really good running back. Ed Oliver showed flashes last year as a rookie. So I get it. They have a lot of talent on that team. But what this reminds me of is the Bears with Mitchell Trubisky. So if you think about this, in 2018, the Bears go 12-4. They win their division. They ended up playing that game against the Eagles in the postseason, the double doink game. But what happened? Really, if you think about it, why were the Bears good that year? It's because of their defense, the Khalil Macks of the world. They were an elite defense. They were first in points per game in terms of points allowed. They were the best defense in the NFL in 2018. So they won on the back of their defense. But that isn't a sustainable way to win in the NFL. In terms of, it may work for a year, but it's not going to work for 5 years in a row now. This isn't the 1980s where the Giants had a great defense for a number of years. This isn't a situation where you're looking at the 85 Bears and then they sustain being a good team for a number of years because of that defense. It just doesn't work that way in the NFL anymore. And Mitchell Trubisky last year in 2019 threw for 209 yards per game. So the defense was still decent in Buffalo or decent in Chicago last year, but it took a step back. And so Mitchell Trubisky, when they asked them to win on offense, what did he do? He cratered. He fell apart. He wasn't good. So what happened with the Bears is what I believe is going to happen with Josh Allen in Buffalo. So when the Bears go 12-4, you're looking at it from the perspective of, oh, we're 12-4. We got a young quarterback. He's going to get significantly better. Well, the problem is that quarterback didn't get better. Your defense took a little bit of a step back, and guess what? You guys missed out on the playoffs. And I believe the same type of situation is going to happen with Josh Allen. I believe that essentially what Josh Allen is, he's Mitchell Trubisky 2.0. I don't see what it is that he does really, really well. And if you look at the schedule for the Bills, it's very similar to the Patriots, of course. You got to play against the Chiefs. You got to play against the Seahawks. So you play the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, in my mind, in Mahomes and in Russell Wilson. Then, remember, you got other games against a good offense like Tennessee. San Francisco's got a really good offense as well with Jimmy G in that running game. So you have a good defense, but at some point when you play these elite teams, you're going to have to outscore them. Your defense isn't going to hold down Mahomes and hold down Russell Wilson and hold down that rushing attack of the Tennessee Titans and hold down San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo and that great running attack they have. So at some point you have to win on your offense, and that quarterback last year in terms of Josh Allen was horrible. His completion percentage for his career is 56. So it's great that you were able to go out there and get Stephon Diggs in the offseason. But the problem is, if you don't have a quarterback that can actually throw him the football, it's kind of irrelevant. It's great to have Stephon Diggs, but this quarterback can't hit a wide open receiver, so it's not something that's going to be beneficial to them because the quarterback's not good. So that's why I just have an issue with everybody being so high on the Buffalo Bills. it feels like we're missing the most essential part of a football team in this new era, or in this recent era, is the quarterback. And Buffalo has a guy that has proven he can't play. I don't see him taking any sort of a step forward. I don't know what it is he does well. He's athletic a little bit, great. Well, he can't hit an open receiver. That's kind of an issue. These are all the same issues, remember, he had at the collegiate level when he was at Wyoming. Everybody pointed out, well, he's not accurate and he doesn't win. Okay, well, he's won a little bit in the NFL because of the team he's on, but he's still an inaccurate player. And I remember hearing Mel Kiper loved this guy, and he kept saying, well, he's going to have better receivers in the NFL. Certainly that's been true. He still can't hit them. So I just don't know how anybody's banking on the Bills to win the AFC East. And if you're picking them to win, that's one thing. But for all these people to be certain that the Bills are going to win this division, that's crazy to me because the quarterback's so bad. So anyway, the Pats come in this list at 18. They have the 18th best roster in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus in this ESPN Plus article. Some of the teams ahead of the Patriots: the Vikings at 17, the Chargers at 16, Seattle at 15, Denver at 14, Indy at 13, Green Bay at 12, Cleveland at 11, Pittsburgh at 10, Philly at 9, Tennessee at 8. Of course, we got to Buffalo at 7. Then you had that top 5, all the stacked teams in the NFL. And if you're wondering how the rest of the division plays out, they have the Jets ranked 28th and Miami ranked 30th. I would have Miami ranked higher than the 30th best team in the NFL, and definitely higher than the Jets. I believe they're going to take a step forward with Brian Flores. And I believe Flores may be the guy that can help Bill Belichick's coaching tree, which hasn't been that good. I believe he's the guy that can do it, because the fact that he came into Foxborough last year when his team had nothing to play for and they beat the Patriots, that was amazing in my mind. And clearly, those guys wanted to play for Brian Flores. Remember, there was all that controversy at the beginning of the season. Oh, they're tanking, etc. They traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick. And look at this team. They played really well down the stretch of the season, especially considering the fact there wasn't a whole lot of talent on the team, and they upgraded in the offseason. They really did, bringing in a guy like Byron Jones over from the Cowboys, and maybe they get their franchise quarterback in Tua. We'll have to wait on that one. We'll see how much he plays. But anyway, so for the Patriots, in this article, ESPN Plus ranking its NFL rosters, the Patriots ranked 18th. They said the biggest strength is no team was stingier in pass coverage than the Patriots last season. They allowed the lowest EPA, which is expected points added. Again, I told you, this is a headache if you read this article, per pass play in the league, and it wasn't particularly close. That shouldn't come as a surprise, given the talent and the depth New England boasts in the secondary, a group that returns nearly all of its key components in 2020. Stephon Gilmore was the most valuable player in the secondary. He's recorded a PFF grade of 92.2 or higher the past few years, and forced more incompletions, 54, than any other cornerback in the NFL since joining the Pats in 2017. So to piggyback off this point, and I was touching on this briefly with Mark, when you look at this Patriots defense, and when I look at Belichick through the years, they have been able to let pass rushers go and still have a really good defense. I mentioned the fact, remember, Chandler Jones was a great player. I love Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones ends up getting traded to the Arizona Cardinals, and the defense actually has gotten better since that point. You start to think about Trey Flowers, who we mentioned. Trey Flowers was on the team that won the Super Bowl against the Rams, and he was on the Super Bowl team against the Falcons as well, but they let Trey Flowers go last year in free agency. He gets all that money to join the Detroit Lions, and guess what? This defense is fine. In fact, the defense was significantly better last year than it was in the 2018 season. And I get 2018, they were better down the stretch. But in totality, the defense in 2019 was better than the defense in 2018. So when I look at it from that perspective, I trust that Belichick with this secondary, bringing back McCourty, J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, you got a lot of bodies in that secondary, and you have the best cornerback in the NFL in Stephon Gilmore. I still think this defense is going to be pretty good. And I am predicting that Belichick's going to find enough ways to generate a pass rush. And I know you lost some guys, the Jamie Collinses of the world, the Kyle Van Noys of the world. So you're going to need something out of a Chase Winovich, Josh Uche, the kid they drafted out of Michigan. One of those guys is going to need to pop. We know that Dante Hightower is a good blitzer when you ask him to do so. But Belichick, when he has a good secondary, he ordinarily has a good defense. So I'm going to trust the defense is going to be pretty good. But here's the thing that sticks out like a sore thumb. They mentioned in this article, the biggest weakness for the Patriots. If we weren't taking notice that the Patriots receiving corps struggled to create separation prior to Tom Brady's passionate sideline plea for faster, more aggressive play, the broadcast camera capturing that moment put the problem in the national spotlight. Remember that last year when Brady was yelling on the sidelines, be faster, be more athletic? They go on to say the only wide receiver or tight end on the Patriots roster with a receiving grade of 70 or higher in 2019 was Julian Edelman, 72.4, which is average. And even he was among the league leaders in drops with 10. The Patriots will be hoping a healthy Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry will take big jumps in 2020. So that's the big weakness for the Patriots that they point out in their article is the lack of weapons that now Jarrett Stidham has to work with. So this is the most interesting portion of the equation in my mind. When you look at the Patriots, you have a young quarterback. We expect it to be a run-heavy team like you had in 2018 down the stretch of that season, or like we saw early in Tom Brady's career in 2001 when he was throwing for less than 200 yards per game. That was the plan last year, but you had all those injuries. David Andrews, Isaiah Wynn was out for a while, James Devlin, etc. But just for the sake of argument, and we can't even guarantee this, but just say for the sake of argument, the line is relatively healthy and good. Isaiah Wynn, Tooney, Andrews, Mason, and Cannon. So that's pretty good if they're all healthy. And let's just take that and let's say, all right, let's say hypothetically it's going to be a decent offensive line. You bring in a fullback because Devlin had to retire due to the neck injury, so you bring in Vitale. You still need your running backs to be good. The Sony Michels of the world. Rex Burkhead, when he's on the field, will they actually give Damian Harris a chance this year, which they didn't last year? But let's say hypothetically you have a decent running game. That is what the Patriots want with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. They don't want to have to lean on the young quarterback, right? But let's just say that works out. And again, as I mentioned, there are question marks with that because the guys in the offensive line, checkered pass in terms of the health. And then if you look at the running back, Sony Michel was not good last year. And Rex Burkhead's never on the field. And we don't know about Damian Harris, right? And James White, yeah, he's great as a receiver, but he doesn't run the ball very often. So there are question marks there. But I'm just saying, let's say that works out. Okay, let's say that works out. You're still going to need weapons in the receiving game. And as they point out, Edelman's the only receiver that even ranked as average last year. And let's not dismiss the fact that he's 5'10" and he's 33 years old. And again, you don't alter your defense for Julian Edelman. You don't. When you play Julio Jones or say Gronkowski, when Gronk was here in his prime, you alter your defense for Gronk, your game planning. All right, are we putting a safety and a corner on Gronk? How are we covering Gronk? What are we going to do with Gronk? That's your whole game plan. That's what you're trying to figure out when you're playing the Patriots with Brady and Gronk. How do we take Gronk away? That's the number one thing. You don't have that type of player with the Patriots anymore. So now when you look at it, Bill's roster construction is going to be put to the fire this year. So last year, the receiving core was an absolute disaster outside of the 1 week you had Antonio Brown. Remember that whole game against Miami? He jumped into the stands and then he was gone. But here's the thing. In terms of the receiving core, nothing has really changed on paper. Bill's banking on a huge step forward from N'Keal Harry, his former first-round pick, a big step forward from Jacoby Myers, and getting something out of Mohamed Sanu, who was, I get it, injured last year, but when he was on the field, he wasn't very effective. And remember, you gave up a number two draft pick for Mohamed Sanu. And Belichick acknowledged that, hey, we didn't take a receiver, but we really used a draft pick on a receiver. So basically he's saying Mohamed Sanu is the receiver we drafted, and he's really been best as a number three receiver in his career. Now, the other element, you have young tight ends, Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi. One of those guys is going to have to pop because Lacoste can't play and Izzo can't play. That's been proven. We saw them last year. Those guys can't play. So here's the thing about Belichick, and last year, remember, you also had like 78-year-old Ben Watson who couldn't play anymore, and I get it, he was injured at the end of the season, but he wasn't good anymore. I've defended Bill in the past because despite missing on some draft picks, it's really never affected the football team outside of 2019. Because if you really think about it, they've been able to go out and get guys like Brandon Cooks. They've been able to go out and get a guy like Martellus Bennett, who was great after Gronk went down that season. So they've been able to add key contributors like a Danny Amendola over the year, going back in time to the Randy Mosses, the Wes Welkers. So even if he misses on receivers, they've been able to hit on them in the free agency, trades, etc. They've been able to bring guys in. But Belichick has doubled down on his receiving core from a year ago. He said, no, these guys are good enough. I'm good enough to win with these guys, with N'Keal Harry, with Jacoby Myers, with Mohamed Sanu, to go along with Julian Edelman. We're good enough to win with this team. So if Belichick doesn't get it done this year with this group of receivers, then you really got to question how he built this roster. I get it, they didn't have a lot of cap space, but they did nothing besides get a guy like Damaire Byrd, who nobody ever heard of before he signed with the Patriots. He's got minimal production with the Cardinals and the Panthers over the years. That's their one move they made in free agency, if you will, in terms of addressing the wide receiver position. This was the most wide receiver-rich draft maybe in the history of the NFL. You had guys like Mel Kiper saying that, who's covered every NFL draft ever, basically. He was saying that this is the most receiver-heavy draft ever. Patriots didn't take one. Now, I know they signed some undrafted free agents, but they didn't take one. So Bill is doubling down on the receivers that he currently has on the roster, basically telling us that, no, these guys are going to be good enough. And we'll see if he's right. But if this receiving core doesn't take a massive step forward, this is on Bill. I won't even blame the players. I won't blame N'Keal Harry. I won't blame Jacoby Myers. I won't blame Mohamed Sanu. I'll just say those guys aren't very good, and Bill underestimated that they weren't very good. So this could be a massive problem for the Patriots, and it's the biggest question mark besides the quarterback entering the 2020 season. Is Bill actually right about these guys? Because I know that I felt like they should have addressed it in the draft, and I wouldn't have minded them going out and get somebody of higher quality than Damir Bird in free agency. What do you make of ESPN ranking the Patriots as the 18th best roster in the NFL? Is that too low? Plus the Bills at number 7 with Josh Allen at quarterback, is that crazy? Also, on ESPN's Get Up today, they suggested they actually had a legitimate conversation on June 25th on whether or not the Patriots are tanking. It's an absolute ridiculous thought. Not to mention, it would make Bill Belichick look like a complete hypocrite. We'll get to that in just a little bit, and we'll get you trending right here on WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Isn't his role even more important this year, though? Because you look around, it's no longer Brady. There's no longer Kyle Van Noy. And like you look in that room, is he one of those veteran leaders? Is it him and Devin McCourty and a bunch of other talented guys who are looking around saying, hey, guys, we're not so bad still. Like, I look at Edelman as a leader now because he's always been Brady's wingman. Mm-hmm. He's always been the complimentary piece. I remember, you know, we could talk about the Super Bowl catches and all his success there, but like, I remember last year at that Bills game, him barely being able to walk, going into the tunnel, coming back out and scoring what was essentially a game-winning touchdown. Like, Edelman can still gut it out. But to me, it's what is he going to do to make N'Keal Harry better? What is he going to do to make Damir Bird better? And what is he going to do to really help in the locker room? Because Brady is a huge void without him being there.
All right, that's Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football and Fox. About Julian Edelman, he's going to be a key contributor this year. Yeah, that's for sure. And I never understood why people were advocating for the Patriots to trade Edelman this offseason. Well, you have a young quarterback. You're going to need something for him to throw the football to, and someone who's actually proven himself at the NFL level. It's great if you're going to project that N'Keal Harry is going to take a step forward, but you need something set in stone that you know, hey, this guy has got to be productive. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. I was going through this list that ESPN Plus and Pro Football Focus put together. They ranked the rosters in the NFL, and they had the Patriots at 18th. By the way, they had San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo ranked third on this list. The one thing I'll say about San Francisco, and really in particular about Jimmy Garoppolo, that roster is loaded. I have no problem with them putting them third on the list. In fact, I may bump them up to second ahead of the Saints, who they had number two on this list. With Jimmy Garoppolo, how come if he's so good, right? Like a lot of people think he's this great franchise quarterback. Well, how come in playoff games his coach had him thrown eight times against the Packers and he threw for just 131 yards against the Minnesota Vikings? Now, I get the fact you can say, well, Brian, they got a really great running game, etc. Okay, that's fine. They have a really good running game. But if the quarterback was that good, why did he only throw eight times in a game? Because I know this, if the Chiefs ever played a game, there's no chance that Pat Mahomes is going to throw eight times. Even if the running game's really working, they're going to throw the damn football. The Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson, you think there's ever going to be a game where that guy attempts less than eight passes? Less than eight passes? So what I saw from San Francisco last year is a coach in Kyle Shanahan that doesn't trust his quarterback, that he doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. And he can say all this crap now about how they love Jimmy, et cetera. They want him to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And Kyle Shanahan said that. But they clearly, by their behavior, don't believe he can be that type of player. And let's not dismiss the fact that the San Francisco 49ers at least were interested in Tom Brady. You think some of these other teams with young franchise quarterbacks were interested in Tom Brady? You think the Texans were? No. I think the Texans had any interest in Tom Brady. Heck, the Tennessee Titans weren't interested in Tom Brady, and they have Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. So what does that tell you? That San Francisco was at least entertaining the idea of bringing in a 43-year-old quarterback coming off his worst professional season to take over for Jimmy Garoppolo, who they gave a big contract to. So that's why I'm just not as high on Jimmy Garoppolo as everybody else is. And you can look at other quarterbacks that have played for Kyle Shanahan. Matt Ryan had an MVP season. Jimmy Garoppolo was nowhere near the MVP of the NFL. So I am significantly lower on Jimmy Garoppolo than most other people, it seems like, around here. Now, I did want to get back to this. So on ESPN's Get Up today, they were having a conversation on whether or not the Patriots should be tanking or will be tanking in the 2020 season, which it just doesn't make any sense to me. So Mike Greenberg brought it up, and I saw this on Barstool Sports. They relayed some of the comments. So he asked David Pollack, and David Pollack said, Bill Belichick tank, are you nuts? Tim Hasselbeck said, their goal is to win playoff games. Adam Schefter said, they have a lot of confidence in Jarrett Stidham. So, by the way, Bill does not have that in his DNA to actually tank a season. And, oh, by the way, he would look like a complete hypocrite. A complete hypocrite if he actually tanked. Think about what Bill Belichick said. I'm going to take you all the way back to 2014, the day they just drafted the guy that I was just talking about, Jimmy Garoppolo. This is what Bill said in 2014. I think organizationally, I don't think we would put together a team the way the Indianapolis Colts did when they lost Manning and they go 0-16 or 1-15 or whatever it was. I don't think that's really what we're looking for. Unfortunately, when we lost Tom in 08, we had a player that could step in, and we won 11 games. He's talking about Castle, of course. We want to be competitive, even if something happens to a player at any position. So, first of all, that was a shot at Bill Polian and the Colts. But secondarily, Bill's telling you that he doesn't believe in tanking. So this is clearly not an option for the Patriots. And I can't believe they were having that conversation on ESPN's Get Up today on June 25th. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. To talk about the Patriots tanking at this point, it doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, so if the Patriots were going to tank, don't you think they would have traded Stephon Gilmore? He has 2 years remaining on his contract, and he's 29. He's the defensive player of the year. Jalen Ramsey, who didn't have a contract yet, fetched two first-round draft picks from the Rams. Or the Rams gave away two first-round picks to Jacksonville for Jalen Ramsey. Think about that. And he wasn't under contract. Gilmore's on at this point, and everybody knocked Belichick at the time for the contract. Gilmore's on a below-market deal for a player of his stature. So if Jalen Ramsey got two first-round picks, you could get more for Stephon Gilmore. Julian Edelman's on a team-friendly contract, 2 years, $15 million. So if Bill was going to tank, Edelman wouldn't be on the team anymore. And oh, by the way, if Bill was tanking, why would he sign McCourty to a two-year extension through his 33- and 34-year-old seasons? If Bill was ready to just throw in the towel, then McCourty would no longer be a member of this organization. Just practically, it wouldn't make sense. So the fact that they're discussing that on June 25th is just stupid. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And here's the other thing I would look at. So even if you want to argue, so if you don't believe in Stidham, you're not going to give him a chance. You say, well, Brian, it's better off for this team in the long run to tank anyway, because then they can get one of these elite quarterbacks coming out of the collegiate ranks. And I was thinking about this today in terms of, if, say, hypothetically, Stidham is not a good player, and look, that possibility is there. The guy was selected in the fourth round. A guy by the name of Ryan Finley out of North Carolina State was taken in front of him. And oh, by the way, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks that are taken rather like in the third round or later that are actually good. Tom Brady's a rarity in the sixth round. Russell Wilson was in the third round. Kirk Cousins was in the third round. The rest of these guys in the NFL drafted in the first or the second round. Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, all these guys that are considered to be elite NFL quarterbacks. I don't consider Rodgers to be there at this point in time. But nonetheless, all those guys that were successful players in this league at the quarterback position, very rare that you get one in the third round or lower. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, who again, that was a fourth round pick because they drafted RG3 early, and Tom Brady. That's pretty much it in terms of starting quarterbacks in this league. Roethlisberger, first round pick. The Cincinnati Bengals going to trot out the number one pick. Arizona's got the former number one pick. The Browns have the former number one pick, right? So that's ordinarily how it works. So there is that possibility that Stidham just isn't good, that he can't play. The reason he dropped to the fourth round, he had issues at the collegiate level. Maybe he's just really not that good. So just say that that is the case and Stidham does not perform at a high level. I was starting to think about the teams that would be in the quarterback market. The Jets, would they move on from Sam Darnold? Now, it's a possibility because Joe Douglas did not draft Sam Darnold. But the other thing I would say is, has Darnold really gotten a fair shake there? Their offensive line has been horrible, and they've had no weapons, basically, since he got there. Miami, they may be a bad team, but they're not moving on from their quarterback. Maybe the Bills, if they really suck, like if Allen really sucks, like I'm predicting, but they may go the veteran route, so to speak. You look at the AFC North, nobody's drafting a quarterback in that division. Maybe the Steelers, if Ben shows some signs of regression, or if the Browns really suck, maybe they say, you know what, Baker, we're done with you. But he would really have to be bad because he was the number one pick. AFC South, Jacksonville will take a quarterback, and I would predict that Indy takes a quarterback as well. Although they did take Jacob Eason, who maybe they think he's going to be the answer. But Indy, in all likelihood, is moving on from Phillip Rivers after next year. In the West, maybe the Raiders, if Derek Carr is not great. Chargers just drafted a young guy in Herbert. Broncos have Drew Lock, and we know about the Chiefs. NFC East, Haskins and Jones were both just drafted, and Dak and Wentz aren't going anywhere. NFC North, they drafted their guy in Green Bay, Jordan Love, to take over for Rodgers. Vikings have Cousins. They gave him an extension. The Bears are a possibility because Trubisky sucks. Maybe the Lions, if they're horrible, they say, you know what, the Stafford era is over. NFC South, maybe the Panthers, but they just signed Bridgewater. NFC West, nobody's drafting a quarterback. Jimmy G, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, and Goff just got signed. Jacksonville, as we mentioned. So Jacksonville, definitely. Indy, probably. Maybe Pittsburgh. The Raiders, maybe the Bears, and maybe the Panthers. So here's the thing. With next year's draft, it's a quarterback-rich draft. So you have Lawrence, who the Patriots are going to have no chance at getting with the number one overall selection. I believe that'll be Jacksonville. That roster is absolutely horrible. They traded away all their good players in the past 2 years. Ramsey, Calais Campbell left. Like, Calais Campbell now a member of the Ravens. They don't have any good players left besides like Leonard Fournette, and I don't even think he's particularly good. So then you start to think about it. Well, Lawrence is gone, but you still have Justin Fields. A lot of people are high on Newman, who transferred to Georgia. Jamie Newman, he was at Wake Forest. A lot of people are high on him. And the other person that everybody's high on coming into the 2021 draft is Trey Lance, the kid that went to Carson Wentz's alma mater, North Dakota State. He went undefeated last year. He didn't throw a single interception. I get it's not Division I, but he didn't throw a single interception. So that's three guys after Trevor Lawrence. So here's the silver lining for the Patriots. Even if Stidham isn't the guy, and even if they don't really bottom out and win two or three games, they're still going to have an opportunity, is Bill, to be able to get a quarterback in the first round in 2021. Because if you look at the league right now, there's not a lot of openings at the quarterback position. I just went through it. There's really not a lot of openings there where teams are going to go into the draft and take a quarterback. Jacksonville, we know. Indy, maybe. But there's really not a lot of other teams out there. Maybe the Raiders. So the Patriots, even if they're okay, say they're 7-9 hypothetically, they can find a way to manipulate the draft board because all these other teams across the league have their guy. They can move up and get maybe the guy they want, whether it be Trey Lance or Newman, whoever it is, whoever Belichick perceives as the best quarterback in that draft. So even if Stidham works out, or it doesn't work out, rather, it's not the end of the world. The Patriots are going to have plenty of opportunities next year in the draft to pick up a quarterback. So that's the silver lining in this whole thing. So there's no need for the Patriots to tank for a quarterback in next year's draft because they're going to be able to get one anyway if Stidham doesn't work out. And the hope is Stidham does work out. But if he doesn't, you're going to be able to go into the draft and get one. All right, the number is 617-779-7937. So this list that ESPN Plus put together is very high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So now, what should the expectations be for Tom Brady and Tampa? We'll get to it next right here on WEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
If you're in the game, well then the stroke's the word. Don't take no risk.
You look at organizations like the Chicago Bulls. It's an average franchise. Michael Jordan comes in, makes it great, and we think that the Bulls are winners. No, Michael was a winner. You take out Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, the Bulls are a below 500 franchise. That's what they are. That's what I grew up with. You take the New England Patriots, pre-Tom Brady. In the history of the franchise, it only won double-digit games 8 times. It was a mediocre franchise. Nobody cared about New England. Bad uniforms, cold, bad stadium. Even in the Northeast, the Steelers were better. The Eagles were more relevant. The Giants were better. They weren't even that interesting. Washington, for years, with Joe Gibbs, way better. Nobody cared about New England. You got your number
down. All right, so that was Colin Cowherd on a show on Fox Sports 1 comparing Brady leaving the Patriots to what happened at the end of the Bulls dynasty with Michael Jordan. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. That is just a ridiculous comparison because, first of all, when the Bulls broke up, everybody was gone. So Michael Jordan retired, which, again, idiotic. I'm not defending the Bulls. Idiotic. I don't know how you let the best player in the sport retire. Scottie Pippen was then traded away. He wanted to get traded away. And Phil Jackson, who had just won 6 championships, they let him go, which, again, it makes no sense that Jerry Reinsdorf, who was running that team, would want to get rid of Phil Jackson. Remember, he's the guy that actually found Phil Jackson. He's the guy that gave him a gig in the NBA as an assistant coach for Doug Collins, and then he elevated him to head coach. So I don't know why Jerry Krause wanted the guy gone. But the point being, with the Chicago Bulls, they got rid of Michael Jordan when he was still the best player in the sport. Michael Jordan, that year that he retired, he led the league in scoring, he won the MVP of the NBA, and he won the MVP of the finals. So basically, at every turn, he was the best player, okay? They also got rid of the coach, who was considered a genius at the time. Phil Jackson, him and Tex Winter had the triangle offense. They also got rid of the second best player on the team that's one of the greatest perimeter defenders in the history of the NBA and Scottie Pippen. So they got rid of all three of those guys in the same offseason. The Patriots got rid of Brady. That's it. They didn't get rid of the greatest coach of all time. They still have the greatest coach of all time. Oh, and again, going back to the differences between Brady and Jordan at the end. So Jordan, as I mentioned, was the best player in the NBA. Tom Brady last year, 13th in passing yards per game. Kyle Allen averaged more. 19th in quarterback rating. Gardner Minshew had a better quarterback rating than Tom Brady did. 13th in touchdown passes. Daniel Jones had as many touchdown passes as Tom Brady did last season, and he played in only 13 games. His completion percentage was 27th in the NFL. So that's why that comparison is just garbage to me. Now, where Cowherd is right is that the Patriots were pretty much an irrelevant franchise before Parcells came around, right? I know they went to the Super Bowl in 85. They got smashed. But when Parcells came here, they were relevant. And Bledsoe made them somewhat relevant as well because he was the number one pick. But for the most part, there was no success for the organization. No sustained success until Brady got here. I'm not dismissing that fact whatsoever. So when you compare Brady and Jordan in that sense, okay, that I can understand. But to compare the end of the Patriots with Brady to the end of the Bulls with Jerry Krause letting Jordan retire, getting rid of Scottie Pippen, and telling Phil Jackson, sayonara, you're not coaching here anymore. That just, it's not an apples to apples comparison. Now, maybe it turns out that Belichick never figures it out. But at least Belichick's going to get the opportunity to figure out with Brady no longer a member of the organization. With the Bulls, nobody got a chance. Nobody got a chance. Michael Jordan was gone. Phil Jackson was gone. And a couple of years later, he ends up getting the job at the Los Angeles Lakers. And he leads Shaq and Kobe to a three-peat, despite the fact that those guys hated each other. I guess not at the beginning, but towards the end of that, they hated each other. And Phil Jackson was proven right by himself that, yeah, he's still a great coach. And we saw what he did with the Lakers. And Jerry Krause was wrong because he brought in this idiot Tim Floyd out of Iowa State to coach the team. And he couldn't coach. Couldn't coach. Had no buy-in from NBA players, and they kept missing on guys in the NBA draft. So Jerry Krause was proven wrong with that decision, and we all knew at the time. Why the hell would you get rid of Michael Jordan? He's the best player in the sport. And I give Michael Jordan a lot of credit for being that loyal. I don't know if I could be that loyal if I was Michael Jordan. He said, I won't play for another coach other than Phil Jackson. Dude, you just won the MVP of the NBA. You just won a championship, and out of principle, you're not going to play? I mean, that's pretty admirable. And then he came back with the Wizards, and he wasn't exactly great anymore. He was fine. I mean, he averaged 20 points a game at the age of 40. So I guess you give the guy credit for that. But obviously, he wasn't the same player. And he missed a bunch of years because he decided to retire. And if he didn't retire, maybe he still would have been at that high level. But Jerry Krause, he was proven wrong. His decision was proven wrong. Maybe in the long run, Bill Belichick will be proven wrong. But here's also the other difference. What was the alternative? So if Belichick brings back Brady, what does that guarantee you? Just let Brady finish out his career as a New England Patriot? Does that guarantee any success for the Patriots? We just saw Brady last year. He had his worst season in the history of his career. So you're not letting Brady go after, say, hypothetically, the Falcons Super Bowl. That would have been the comparison. After Brady comes back from 28-3, Belichick says, yeah, I'm getting rid of you. That would have been the comparison. Or really the comparison would be this. If Robert Kraft said after the 2016 Super Bowl, where the Patriots beat the Atlanta Falcons 28-3, Kraft says, I'm done with Bill. He's not coming back next year. And Tom, I'm sorry. We got to move on to the next guy. That's the comparison. It's not the comparison to the Bulls right now to the Patriots. It's just totally different. It just doesn't make any sense. Those two situations are not comparable. So we'll see if Belichick can continue to keep this team relevant. It's going to depend on Stidham, or if it's not Stidham, the quarterback after that. But Belichick's still got plenty of time to prove that he still has an opportunity to keep this team somewhat relevant. And oh, by the way, they have as many nationally televised games coming up in the 2020 season as do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So obviously the NFL is banking on the Patriots being at least an intriguing product. And most people are saying, well, they probably want to see Bill lose. And that's the case. But the Patriots are at least pretty relevant going into this season. So in 2020, the first year without Brady, they are going to be relevant. Now, if they can sustain that, we'll see in the long term. But they still have plenty of opportunities, whether it's drafting a quarterback in 2021 or if Stidham works out, for Belichick to keep this thing going. And again, letting Brady go now, it didn't take away an opportunity for the Patriots to keep winning at a high level. Because what you felt like with the Bulls when they ended their dynasty, Cowherd's talking about the Jordan and Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen all being gone in 1 year. What it felt like with the Bulls is there was still meat on the bone. They still had opportunities to win at a high level and win championships because they just beat the Jazz to win the NBA championship. With the Patriots, ask yourself this question. Was there more meat on the bone for Tom Brady as a member of the Patriots? Did you actually believe than Tom Brady returning for the 2020 season. And you may say, you know what? I wish that Belichick gave Tom the opportunity to finish as a New England Patriot. Fine. That's fine to have that take. That's fine to say that, that you would have liked to see Tom after everything he meant to this organization. You wanted to see Tom finish here. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. I get that some fans out there love Tom Brady, as do I, and you wanted to see him finish his career. I understand that. Totally understand that. But at the same point, let me ask you this question. Even if you love Tom Brady, did you think Brady coming back to the Patriots was going to help this team win a Super Bowl in 2020? You're not better than the Chiefs, and you're not better than the Ravens, and heck, you weren't better than the Titans last year. So I don't see a way where bringing Tom Brady back for, say, a two-year extension was going to make you this contender. With the Bulls, with Michael Jordan, well, you know what? Bringing Michael Jordan back in 1999 and 2000, that may have gotten you another championship. Or 98, 99, I should say. That could have brought you another championship. Bringing back Brady for the Patriots team, that was not going to solve their issues. This isn't Tom Brady from 2016, 2017. This is Tom Brady from 2019, where he had a miserable season. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Terrible Tom in Dorchester. What's up, Tom?
How you doing?
Good.
I just want to talk about Brady and Belichick.
Yep.
You know, Brady's the greatest quarterback. You said he had a lousy season last year.
He did.
Do you realize that if he was quarterback to any one of the four final teams, they would have won the Super Bowl?
No, they wouldn't have.
Brady had nothing.
No, they wouldn't have.
Sure, they would have. Brady was the greatest quarterback around. He had nothing to win.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He wasn't the greatest quarterback in the NFL last year. Pat Mahomes was.
He didn't have anybody last year. He would have won the Super Bowl if he had decent receivers like the final four teams did. And another thing about Belichick, the most overrated coach in the world. Now, if Brady come back, Belichick still wouldn't have got him any tools to work with. So Brady wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl. Maybe we had a winning record.
So, Tom, let me get this correct. So, Brady, still the greatest quarterback in the NFL, and Belichick.
Definitely. You got that right. That is exactly right. He's almost already.
Let me ask you this. So let me give you a hypothetical. If anybody else coached the Patriots with Tom Brady, they would have won six Super Bowls too, right?
They would have won 10 Super Bowls with anybody else.
10 Super Bowls with anybody else. Okay.
They would have won at least 7 or 8 Super Bowls with anybody else. Yeah. I'm telling you. They might have lost
one. Adam Gase, the Patriots head coach, he's got 10 rings.
Belichick is the most. He would never. Belichick is lucky those three. You remember them Super Bowls? Brady brought them back in Atlanta for Trent. That was a loss.
Seattle. What about Hugh Jackson? You think he would have won 11? Maybe 11 Super Bowls with Brady.
With any other team, Brady would have won 11 Super Bowls. I'm telling you, any other team.
That's a good point.
Hey. Belichick is not any better of a coach. And as a matter of fact, he's not as good of a coach as any other coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
So Brady would have won more Super Bowls with another coach.
Tom, I appreciate the call, man. I think you hit the nail on the head. I really do. And I think that's something that we should talk about more around here is think about the hypothetical of if Brady never had to play for Belichick, he had a chance to win, according to Tom, 10 or 11 Super Bowls. So in my mind, that's the biggest question with the Patriots. If they never hired Belichick, think about how good the organization would be. Belichick did nothing. It's not like he had a great game plan against the Rams in the first Super Bowl that the Patriots won. It's not like he had a great game plan against the Rams in the last Super Bowl the Patriots won. He really essentially did nothing. It's not like his defense basically pantsed Peyton Manning for two consecutive playoff appearances. He did none of that. I mean, Belichick, if they didn't have Belichick, this team, this franchise, I mean, they would have been a whole lot more successful. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937. So ESPN Plus has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ranked as the 5th best roster in the NFL. So what does that mean our expectation should be for Tom coming up in 2020? Plus, I do want to get to something that Brad Stevens is pushing for in the NBA that makes no sense to me. We'll do all that in just a couple of minutes here on WEI. No, they wouldn't have.
Sure, they would have.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.